Amen. Amen. Truly, the Lord has brought us all the way. Amen. Giving all praises to God, recognizing our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryant, to Deacon Harrison, to the deacons, to the trustees, to the ushers, nurses, and greeters on today, and to all of you that are here today. We are truly grateful that the Lord has allowed us to come together one more time. I got enough sense to know that I lived bad enough that God could have taken me away a long time ago if it had not been for his grace to allow time to run on just a little while longer. And so for that, we are truly grateful. We would like to call your attention to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to do some what I call biblical gymnastics. We're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to skip, hop, and jump to verse 9 through 14. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, by the inspiration of God, these words are recorded. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram, and that's Syria, for some translation. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly respected because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Syria had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. Now let's skip, hop, and jump to verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha went, sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I have washed in them and been cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. We read it to your hearing, 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Hop, skip, and a jump to verse 9 through 14. We ask that there be a blessing to God's word. We would like to simply tag this text, Ushers of the Unusual. Ushers of the Unusual. Thank you, ushers. Today, hopefully I don't have to spend a whole lot of time convincing you that we are living in unusual times. I mean, it just seems to me that up is down and down is up. It's, right is wrong and wrong is right. We live in such a unusual time, unusual in the sense that it's different than times past, different than times that some of us grew up in. It's different than times that we envision. It's an unusual times in which we live. But I come by this morning on a recruiting trip because we need to recruit some ushers of the unusual. Ushers who's able not only to perform duties inside these stained glass windows, but also outside these stained glass windows. Ushers are the unusual that don't need no badges, don't need no uniform, but yet can help people a long life's way. We live in an unusual time. Those who we're supposed to trust to lead us, we don't really trust them to lead us anywhere. Those who we thought that our records and resumes and going to school and all that matter, but now I guess it's just nepotism. Just pick your friend, pick a drinking buddy or to get your job. It's unusual times. But I believe this text can help us how to be ushers in these unusual times, how to be servants in this present age. And you don't have to take my word for it. This passage, 2 Kings chapter 5, describes to us an unusual situation. And you don't have to take my word for it. You could take the word of Jesus. In fact, Jesus' first sermon in Nazareth, they hand him the reading for the day, which was the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. In that passage, they read, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has given me and anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor." That was the text for that particular Sunday service, that particular Sabbath service. And Jesus reads that passage, rolls it up, gives it back to the scribe and says to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So picture this. Jesus is at home, at his hometown church, around folk he grew up with, people he went to school with, people that knew Joseph, people that knew Mary, people that knew him. He just given the scripture to read. He read a passage of prophecy from Isaiah about the Messiah, and then Jesus reads it and says, "Today this passage is being fulfilled in your eyes." Now, all the hometown people were like, cool, whatever, you know, probably wouldn't have paying attention to what he was preaching, because what they wanted was the miracles. What they wanted was Jesus to start healing the sick. What they wanted was Jesus to start turning water into wine. And Jesus says to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard you do in Capernaum.'" So his home folk ain't looking to Jesus as Messiah to receive the word from the Lord from him. They are looking for a freebie. They're looking for a handout. I mean, with two fish and five loaves of bread, you fed 5,000. If you take two fish and five loaves of bread, I'm sure you can feed my family for 5 months. Just work one of those type miracles. And Jesus said, "You're going to want me to do this." But then listen to this. He said, "I assure you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Simply that unless you believe in the word of God, the prophet is not received in his hometown. You got to believe in the prophet, in the word of God, that the word of God can make a difference in your life." They was having trouble because they thought they knew Jesus. But then Jesus gave two examples of when a prophet is not received in his hometown. The first example he gives is Elijah. He says there was other widows in the region in the time of Elijah, but Elijah served her because those did not believe. The second illustration that Jesus gives is Naaman. He says, "In the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was clean because they would not believe. Only Naaman the Syrian was killed." What makes the second Kings chapter 5 passage unusual is that it is a healing story that does not contain believing. It's missing a key ingredient to healing, which is belief. So chapter 5 is an unusual healing situation. It's an unusual situation because there is no belief. Now, it's also unusual because who is the patient? The patient in this story is a man by the name of Naaman. And Naaman had everything. Naaman had position. Naaman had privilege. Naaman had power. Naaman had it all. And Naaman had it all doing everything opposite of what you and I believe. He didn't have the morality of Israel to deal with. He didn't have the law of the Lord to contend with. He could do whatever he wanted to do because he was a Syrian and he was successful in doing it. But the scripture says, but he was a leper. After everything he had acquired, he had the biggest house, had the biggest car, his wife had a standing appointment at the beauty shop and the nail salon. He could go by the grocery store and just pick up his grocery and they'll bill it to his house. He had every channel on his TV. He had the Apple 500 or whatever. He had it all, but he also had leprosy. And secondly, Naaman was a people pleaser. You know how we're taught growing up from little kids that we are to obey God and not man? Put not your trust in princes of government, trust in the Lord. That we are to get our identity from the Lord and not from people. Naaman could not survive in this society with social media. He would crack up. Because he was the type of person that was concerned about what people thought about him. So even though he had everything everyone would want to have, he also had leprosy. And if you are vain, the last thing you want is a skin condition. And leprosy starts off at the lower stages. It's just little blotches on your skin. And you can still get around, still can operate. But, you know, since there was no real antibiotics, they just get worse and worse and worse until the sores eventually decayed the body. Naaman was probably at the early stages, so he was able to still function. But now he can't hide it no more. He can't hide his leprosy anymore. It's starting to show. People are starting to see it. People are starting to react to him. I mean, they invite him to the gala, but then they got him sitting in the corner eating off of paper plates and using paper. Oh yeah, they invite him to the barbecue, but they got him in the other corner. He got to eat off of paper. As soon as he get done, they burn up all his dishes. He could go to these events, but every time he went, he was reminded of his butt. He was a leprosy. And wouldn't that be hard for you and I if everybody knew about our butt? I mean, if the record would show that some of us are good people, but we like to lie. I know some people that are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, but I got to keep my eye on them because they got sticky fingers. You know, some of us have some butt, got anger issues, we got all kinds, but Naaman was leprosy, the skin condition that affected his personality, affected his pride, his identity, affected everything about him, but he was a leper. So it caused an unusual situation. You have the Syrian that don't really believe in the God of Israel and has been successful against the God. In fact, they say of Naaman that the Lord had delivered. That, you know how dominant you have to be for the Lord to say that, for people to say that the Lord did it? You got to dominate in order for people to say and they said the Lord did it for Naaman. So it was an unusual situation, a healing without belief. But secondly, times like these unusual situations requires unusual solutions. Here in this text, we find that Naaman, first, the little girl tells his wife. This is how you know that he's a people pleaser. The little girl tells his wife. His wife tells Naaman. Naaman tells the king. So Naaman got to get the approval of everyone. He wanted to get the approval of the king in order to go to Israel to try this experimental drug called profit in Israel. So he wanted to get everybody to sign off on this because he don't have belief in God. And so he goes to the king. And the king gives an unusual solution. What the king does is says, I'm going to write a letter to the king of Israel telling him that I'm sending my top general into Israel for a cure for leprosy. Now, I don't know how you picture that, but if you receive a letter from somebody saying cure some incurable disease, you're going to have a problem with that. Like, who told him that we can cure leprosy in Israel? We got leprosy in Israel. Who told this general, this warrior, this soldier, this killing machine that we have a cure for leprosy in Israel? The king rips off his clothes and throws, oh my God, this dude gonna kill us all. But the prophet Elisha hears word of this visit and he sends words and says, tell him to come see me. Come to the outskirts of town, come to the suburbs, and visit with Elisha. Now he does, and you got to remember, this is a caravan. This is an entourage. It's not just Naaman riding on one horse. You know, he got Naaman. He's got four or five men. They all got cars. He got gold he bringing with him. He want to buy this cure. He got clothes and fine linen. He got a caravan. He goes from the king's palace to Elisha's house, park outside this whole caravan, and Elisha simply sends a servant out there and tells him, go dip in the Jordan seven times and you'll be clean. Now, Naaman don't know how this religious stuff works. I ain't super spiritual, you know. I ain't a church going man, you know. I ain't been to worship service in a long time. But shouldn't he at least come out and examine me? Shouldn't he at least come out here and wave his hand over the spot? I mean, shouldn't he at least pray? I mean, sing a hymn or something? Open up a book? Throw some dust in the earth? Move around. He should do something. This great problem that I have called for a great solution. And Elisha gives him a simple solution that only requires obedience and not belief. See, Naaman didn't have to believe it. He just had to do it. And those are the unusual solution was the dip seven times. But finally, in this unusual times in which we live, these times require unusual servants. Ushers of the unusual. And unless you have an eye for ushering, you might not have spotted the ushers in this passage. But first, let me point out the two ushers in this passage. The first usher in this passage is the little maiden. Because an usher job is to get the patient, to get the people in the presence of the Most High. So what the little maiden girl does is tells him that there is a prophet in the land of Israel who is able to heal him of his leprosy. Now, what makes this unusual is that she evangelized up. Most of us, we don't evangelize up. Most of us will invite our coworkers, but we won't invite our boss to church. Yeah, we invite some friends that are peers of ours, but most often we do not evangelize upward. We either evangelize down or we evangelize sideways, but very seldom do we evangelize upward. And we very seldom evangelize from the oppressed to the oppressor's stance. She was oppressed. He was the oppressor. And yet she evangelized toward them. I think Naaman was a good guy. I don't think he was a mean, abusive individual. He just happened to be born in Syria. If he were born in a different place in a different time, he would have been a different man. But I think he was a good man, so that the Ursha recognized it and said, I wish he would just go to Israel. Just spoke a word. And we need Urshas like that in grocery stores. We need Urshas like that in corporate America. We need Urshas like that in beauty shops and barber shops around America. We need people that are still willing to tell other people they need to go to church. Still willing to tell people, try Jesus. Still willing to tell people he can work it out. And she just simply tells him to go to Israel. And the prophet in the land is able to heal. The second unusual servant in this passage, is the one that shows up when Naaman began to have a heart attack. When Naaman goes into cardiac arrest, his faith began to wane. His trust, his obedience was waning. And he declares, is not the rivers of Abana and Pharpar far better than the river of Jordan? And many of us are like Naaman. We have our own ideas of how to heal ourselves, where to sit, what we are willing to do. We have our own ideas how Jesus ought to move in our lives. We have our own ideas of his plan, what he should do, how he ought to wave his hand, what he ought to say. Indeed, I said to myself, surely he would at least come out. Now, I don't know why Elisha did that man like that, man. That was rough of Elisha. But I think Elisha did it because even though the skin condition, this leprosy of his skin was a big deal to Naaman, it was not to Elisha. Because Elisha had bigger problems. Elisha is the prophet in a nation that fails to believe. They don't have enough belief that God had to send a Naaman out of country to come and get a healing in Israel. They did not. So he's not even worried about Naaman's skin condition. And he just does it. He just swipes left on him. Just tell him to go dip in the river of Jordan 7 times. He shall be healed. He don't even put on his shoes. Don't even turn down the TV. I mean, I can see him. I can imagine Naaman standing outside looking in the window and say, he didn't even move. And yet, he want me to go dip. And I don't know if you ever get a chance to go to Israel and visit the Jordan River. I recommend not getting into Jordan. Amen. I was baptized when I got there, and they offered to baptize me again. But I was like, no, my baptism good. I'm securing my baptism. Because the Jordan don't flow like it should. It gets stagnant. It gets still. It flows underneath the surface faster than the top, so the top gets, ugh. I mean, that's in the Bible. So nobody willingly goes to dip in it. That's why John the Baptist baptizing in the River Jordan was such a spectacular event, because nobody willingly gets in the River Jordan unless you believe God is in it. And so he tells him to go dip, and he is blown off. But the second servant was right there. Right there when Naaman was having a crisis of belief, when Naaman was having a crisis of obedience, when Naaman was starting to talk himself out, the second unusual servant showed up. He showed up and said to him, if he would have asked you to do some great thing, surely you would have done it. If he would have asked you to go back and bring back the 100 scalps of your enemies, you would have done it. If he would have said, give me $1 million, you would have done it. Why not do what the prophet said do? Since we were sent to the prophet. The second servant encourages him in the midst of his failing heart to stay with the word of the Lord. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, we need some people to usher people. Usher people in their time of crisis, in their time of emergency, when they're about to lose their faith, about to lose their hope, to be able to be Johnny on the spot, to be right there, to hold their hand and tell them, let's pray one more time. Let's call on the Lord just one more time. Do you know how many emergency people need an usher? Somebody that'll help them along life's way. See, a lot of times we think like Naaman, it requires a long prayer. We think that our miracle requires a long program. It requires some shouting and some big production, but Elisha gave him a simple assignment and all he had to do was just do it. He was a soldier, been used to taking orders. Just do it. You obeyed your king. You obeyed the authorities over you. Now obey the prophet that tells you to go and dip 7 times. Now I can imagine when Naaman went down to the River Jordan, went down first time and nothing happened. Went down a second time and no transformation. Went down a third time, no change. Fourth time, he's starting to think, if I get out of this water, I'm going to get that prophet. If I ever get out of this water. Fifth time, he comes up wet, but still a leper. Sixth time, still no different. Can you imagine standing there after being down 6 times and ain't nothing but wet? Now you're wet and dirty and stinky. You got Jordan water all over you in places you didn't want water and all this. And you're standing there and you got one more chance, one more time. And you know, it's a lot of people that find themselves between the 6th and the 7th time. A lot of people quit on the 6th time. And they say, well, it haven't worked. It still won't work. Well, do it one more time. You know, my grandmother, she didn't have a lot of money, but she had good sense. And she knew that she couldn't leave us an inheritance of major money. And so what she decided was leave us an inheritance of a poem. I think I shared this with you before. And the poem is simply, don't quit. You know, when the going gets tough, just don't give up. And this is what the usher, the greeter, the nurse, this unusual servant does for Naaman in this emergency situation. He encourages him not to give up. And so Naaman goes down a 7th time. And when he comes up, first thing he do is look at his hands. And they look new. Second thing he do is look down at his feet. And they do too. What a change that has come over his life. And brothers and sisters, the times in which we live, people, the unusual times in which we live, people still need to understand that there is a benefit in serving the Lord. There's still a benefit in hearing the word from the Lord. Naaman got his healing because God sent ushers along his path. And when I look back over my life, when I look back over the times I wanted to give up, God sent somebody to encourage me one more time. And I imagine if I look back in your life, I can find a teacher that encouraged you. I can find a neighbor that encouraged you. And we ought to be ushers of the unusual in this unusual season. And just help people. Help people at the grocery stores. Help people at the bar, wherever you go. And we got great examples here. Come to church on Sunday mornings and watch the example of Ebenezer's ushers, how they serve inside. And then we go and serve outside. Ushers of the unusual. May God bless you and may God keep you.